Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon. This is JP Ong with a look at markets as we near the closing bell here in Singapore. And so far, the Straits Times Index is holding on to these meager gains despite being tested in the afternoon session. We've seen intraday gains pare back a little bit, but so far the STI is holding on to a 9.7 gain and currently trading at 3,138 points. Across the rest of the region, we're seeing that most markets closed in the green as regional markets in Asia try to extend the bounce back that they saw on Monday. But despite greater Chinese markets generally closing in the red today, the Nikkei 225, the ASX 200 in Australia, and the KOSPI in Korea all managed to close in the green by the end of today's session. So far, so good for most Asian markets today, but can the sentiment be extended in the coming sessions, given the fact that there are still a number of uncertainties that are shaping sentiment among investors both here and across the world? Well, today we are joined on the line by Stephen Innes, the Managing Director of VM Markets out in Bangkok, to give us his sense of whether or not markets can sustain this recent bump up. Mr. Innes, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, JP.
All right. So again, as we mentioned, Stephen, so far so good for most Asian markets today. But the question now is, how sustainable is this current risk-off sentiment that we've seen, given the fact that a number of these issues don't seem to have been fully resolved yet and could take a while before we can actually see some resolution to some of these?
Yeah, you know, the positive trade headlines and the potential for budgetary stimulus have provided markets with much needed relief. And I stress relief here because that's the important part. Investors have been pretty spooked recently by recessionary cheerleading and toppling bond yields. So every little sliver of positive they can get, especially on the trade war front, draws out positive sentiment. Now, risk is thriving, but it's not overly thriving in the sense that I think the market is clearly waiting for the true litmus test for risk sentiment, which will be the outcome of the U.S.-China trade talks. So to answer the question whether this risk-on rally can extend, well, we go back to trade discussions once again, and we really think everything is going to be wrapped up into this. So traders right now, after a pretty decent relief rally, don't want to get too far ahead of the current economic realities and potentially the more damaging economic realities if trade war does escalate. So that's where we're sitting right now.
In fact, one indication that there seems to be a continued search for insurance out in the markets is the fact that there are some investors that are flocking to longer-term yields again in the U.S. and search for positive yields. We've seen the inversion of the two-year, 10-year portion of the yield curve in the U.S. seemingly correcting, but our recession fear is still prominent among markets despite the fact that we've seen the yield curve start to normalize in recent sessions.
You know, I've been in this market for too many years, and to ignore the fact, it's when the next recession will happen, not if. The problem we have right now, there's a lot of fear-mongering driven around a potential imminent and recession. And I think that's flat out wrong. I think the markets are just jumping too far ahead of the data in the U.S., which continues to turn around quite well. But we have to be careful here. You know, so far, the U.S. economy has been immune to the knock-on effects of the global economic downturn. So we really feel now, it boils down to a case of whether policy continues to support. So it's back to looking at the Fed. The Fed, out of necessity alone, will now have to lower interest rates because trade wars have started to escalate and the damaging effects can be quite severe. So whether how quickly the trade war effect applies into an economic downturn towards a recessionary fear, that all depends on how much policy wiggle, how much central bank policy room will start to affect the markets. Right now, I don't think the Feds are willing to concede. I think they've still got policy ammunition, so I expect them to come to the market's rescue.
Oh, we're still speaking to Stephen Innes, the Managing Director for VM Markets out in Bangkok. And I'm glad you brought up the Fed because that's my next point here, Mr. Innes. Also, recently we heard comments from Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren, who says that he thinks more rate cuts might actually be detrimental to the global economy. And he also alluded to that point you made about them conserving their firepower should things get even worse. Do you agree with Rosengren's sentiments that rate cuts might actually be more detrimental, or do you think that the Fed should probably pull the trigger sooner rather than later?
you know, he's a bit of a hawk. So we have to remember that he's always going to be against dropping inflation, or sorry, dropping interest rates to a large degree. But I think he's wrong in this call. We've got the U.S. consumer as the sole driver of the stabilizing U.S. economy, which is a global oddity if you look at it, because every other activity metric is in the tank everywhere else. For me, the Fed's new reaction function is not that difficult to understand. Domestic circumstances matter little compared to the potential economic blowback from trade uncertainty and global slowdown that continues to muddy their outlook. So I think Fed being a forward-looking institution, and while left with the unenviable task of trying to parse the trade war, the fallout from Brexit, along with the Chinese slowdown, I don't sense that the Fed wants to be perceived as tightening financial conditions. So if anything, they're going to err on the side of over dovish. That's the view I'm taking. I was very surprised by the tack that they took last FOMC by qualifying this rate cut as a mid-cycle rate cut. I think they should have gone full out dove. And I think the market's still telling them that they view the overall climate as quite tight and that they're just demanding that the Feds ease interest rates. So let's see if they comply this time around, because they have a lot they can make up for by the policy mistake, in my view, that they made last time around.
Definitely words matter when it comes to the Fed almost as much as their actual decision. And now I want to tie this all back into Singaporean markets. I know you keep an eye on what happens here in the local and on the local bourse, Steve. And also, do you think we are seeing that the STI has rebounded over the last couple of days, but you did mention that it's still a bit tenuous to see if we can extend the rally. What is the threat of Singaporean markets perhaps wiping out year-to-date gains by the end of August? Because despite the fact that we've seen markets here recover a little bit, it's been a forgettable August when you look at how the STI has performed. What's your take on how resilient the STI can be given some of these recent headwinds?
You know, it really boils down to trade war. You know, Singapore economy itself is really a pawn in the trade war debate here. You know, we often hear it being referred to as a bellwether for global economic sentiment, because it is generally one of the first free open economies to release GDP data. And that's how we're viewing it right now. We think as we go forward, my view is that and trade war in some form or another between the U.S. and China is going to go on forever. I think we already can tell that these two ideology differences are never going to have a meeting of the minds. My fear here is that Trump gets reelected again, this will embolden and more aggressive trade policies. And I think this is just going to continue on if he gets reelected. And this is the fear here. My thinking is that the U.S. are trying to force countries to take sides here, whether it's the U.S. or whether it's China. But I think, obviously, the U.S. wants Singapore to take their side. This could end up being a stumbling block for Singapore, because they want them to be sense of neutrality. They want to keep both China and the U.S. happy. So, unfortunately, Singapore is going to get caught in this tug of sentiment, tug of ideology, and I don't think it's going to be great for capital inflows in general as we go forward into 2020.
All right, and definitely some choppy waters potentially for Singapore markets moving forward and even possibly past the U.S. elections next year. We'll have to leave it there. But Stephen Ennis, Managing Director for VM Markets, thank you so much for joining us today on Primetime.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.